Now, I just want to share what I'm going to be sharing today on the topic number one here. What is the Southern Cross Association of Churches? Because I know for many of you, you've maybe heard about Southern Cross, and you know a little bit about it, but I want to just go over what Southern Cross is and what it isn't. And then tomorrow, I'm going to move on to another topic, what is Apostolic Reformation? How many of you have heard of apostles? Well, we're going to be talking about the fivefold ministry tomorrow. That'll be the first session tomorrow morning. So I want you to be sure and be here to talk about this tomorrow. Basically, though, Elaine and I, just to give you a bit of background, we are pastors of a church in Perth, Western Australia. We are the founding pastors of the church. The church will celebrate its 29th birthday next month. So it's been going for 29 years. So we've had a lot of experience in church planting. And what we love to do is to assist pastors and encourage pastors to be more effective in planting good, solid, strong churches that will last and will be very fruitful. We also head up the Southern Cross Association of Churches, which we founded 16 years ago, and it started with 7 members in 1999. And 2 of those members were from Africa, from the nations of Namibia and South Africa, and then 5 Australians, including myself. Okay? And Southern Cross has grown over the years to include probably close to 250 ministries around the world. And when we started Southern Cross, the Lord said to me, I'm giving you boundary stones. How many of you know what boundary stones are? In the book of Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 23, we read, do not move the ancient boundary stones. Do not impinge on the land of the widow and the orphan. Okay? Now, in the old days, they didn't have fences. They had boundary stones, which were big, like landmarks in the countryside. And that's how you could tell where your land was. Don't move the boundary stones. Well, the Lord in Southern Cross has given us boundary stones, and that is primarily within the Southern Hemisphere. In other words, anywhere south of the equator are the boundary stones of Southern Cross. And God showed me in 1999 that someday Southern Cross would grow to include ministries in Africa, in Australia and New Zealand, and in South America. And at the time, I didn't know anybody in South America. But the first time I came to Africa was in 1990. And I went only to South Africa and to Zimbabwe. So I've been coming back and forth to Africa from Australia for 26 years. So we have a real heart for Africa, and particularly for Kenya. And we are absolutely delighted that Anthony and Fiona from our church, who are a spiritual son and daughter to Elaine and myself, have moved here, and they're carrying on the wonderful work that was started by Jody Pike. And many of you know Jody, but as time goes on, we'll see more leaders from among you rise up. You see, the object of Southern Cross is not to have Australians lead Southern Cross. We are here to be equippers of the saints. So I want to make that very clear, that we are here to be equippers to help you grow in the role of ministry and raise up to be effective leaders in your own country. And Dave Appelt, who you will meet in the next session in the afternoon, Dave is one of our closest friends and leaders in Southern Cross. And he lives in the city of Melbourne, Australia, which is clear across on the east coast of our continent. Australia is a very large continent. It has 3 time zones, and it's probably 3,200 kilometers east to west, approximately 3,200. and probably about 2,500, maybe 3,000 north-south. So it's very, very large. But most of Australia is very desert in the center. And all the major cities are on the coast of Australia. We do have a few cities in the center. But God led me to Australia. It's been now, how many years ago? 81? That'd be 35 years ago. So I grew up in the United States, right in the center, in a farming area called Iowa. So just in case you wonder about my accent, I don't have a true Australian accent, but my wife, Elaine, does. So that qualifies me to be an honorary Australian. And I'm also learning a few Swahili words, like Asante Sana, Pole Sana, Pole Pole, and my Swahili tutor is right back here. And her favorite term is wewe wacha. So, pole sana, Jody, I think. Okay, so with that little bit of background, I'd like to today present what is Southern Cross, and then have a little bit of time for questions. And then we'll take a short break. Elaine will come and share with you, and then we'll have lunch at 1 o'clock, okay? So, the first scripture I'd like to share with you is from Galatians 3, 26 through 29. And I think this is very appropriate that we always remember this when we come together. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, friends, I think it's important that we establish this foundation. You may be from Kenya. You may be from Uganda. We may be from Australia. But we are all one in Christ. And there is no black or white. We are all one. And we respect each other, and we see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And the beautiful thing is, all of us who are in Christ become the heirs of a new covenant. We receive the blessings of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, and of all the people in the Old Testament who God made a covenant with. Because we are in Christ. But the covenant that we have is a new and better covenant. And we actually are sons and daughters of God through the shed blood of Christ. So God's intent was that Jesus would be the firstborn of many sons and daughters. So we who follow in the footsteps of Jesus are sons and daughters of God. And I'll talk more about that tomorrow. But I feel this is very foundational to understanding Southern Cross. That it doesn't matter where we come from, our background, the language we speak, the color of our skin, we are all brothers and sisters before God. But some of us have different responsibilities, different assignments. My assignment as the director of Southern Cross is to be an organizer, to bring structure to the organization of Southern Cross, but also to equip you for the work of ministry. And that is what Elaine and Dave and I will be doing today and tomorrow, trying to equip you in the work of ministry. And we read of that in Ephesians chapter 4. That God has given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors and teachers and evangelists, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Okay? Now, I've been ordained as an apostle. I was ordained in Namibia about 12 years ago as an apostle. I don't often call myself apostle. Others may do that, but I consider it a great honor to be called an apostle, and I try to live up to that high calling. But I want to tell you this, I started as a teacher within the body of Christ. People usually don't start out as apostles. They start out as a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet or a teacher or just even serving in the body of Christ. And I believe that the task of the apostle is to be at the bottom, not at the top. And my job is to push other people up, not to push people down. Because Jesus was the greatest apostle, and he came to serve and not to be served. So I guess the first lesson I would want you to know is anyone who claims to be an apostle but is not the greatest servant of the people is not really an apostle after Jesus Christ. Okay? This isn't a pyramid. This isn't a tribal system where the apostle is the chief, in the sense of lording it over people. Now, the second scripture is Psalm 133. And I'd like to just read that to you very briefly. It says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore." Friends, unity is very important in the body of Christ. There is much division at the moment in the body of Christ. Paul challenged the Corinthians. He said, "One of you says, I follow Paul. One says, I follow Peter. One says, I follow Apollos." Who are Paul and Peter and Apollos? They are only servants of God. You are God's field. So here's the point. As Southern Cross, we are not competing with other parts of the body of Christ. We do not say we are the only way. We have a heart to see the entire body of Christ blessed. And wherever you live, wherever you minister, if you will set your heart to bless the entire body of Christ, not just people in Southern Cross, not just your own church, there the Lord will command a blessing. You will be blessed because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in total unity. And if we wish to be more like Jesus, we must learn to live in unity. So unity is one of the great hallmarks of Southern Cross. Amen? Amen? So we seek unity. And even here in this group, our hope is that we will become more of a family. That you will get to know each other and trust each other and not compete with each other. That we will all just try to help each other to be successful. Many churches these days are in deep competition with one another, and you know what I mean. The same thing happens in Australia. And it grieves the Father's heart when brothers and sisters are competing and putting each other down and trying to take each other's people. And this is one thing in Southern Cross we are firmly committed to not see happen. We are challenging this churchianity idea that your main task is to build your church, because you're not really building the kingdom if you build only your own church. The kingdom is broader than any of our churches. Okay? So this is just kind of foundational to our thinking. And let's now look at what is the Southern Cross Association of Churches. Now, again, I've told you a little bit about our history. Southern Cross was founded in 1999 with 7 members, and God has chosen to bless us to where we now have probably close to 300 people, 300 ministries on 3 continents. And in fact, we have people who relate to us in every continent in the world. Asia as well, Europe, North America, as well as South America. The only place we don't have Southern Cross members is in Antarctica. But we believe that someday God may save a few of the penguins. No, I'm just kidding. So that's okay. But God has blessed this organization. Now, I think it was Fiona mentioned that we have a few priorities. She made some proclamations. And then Anthony came up and talked about what are our kind of goals, what do we seek to promote. And I put down here 5 things. If we were to say, what is the purpose of Southern Cross? We'd start by saying to recognize your ministry. You see, there are many people who are ministering in the name of Jesus, but they've never been officially recognized. And in Southern Cross, we call it ordination. We ordain people according to the gifting on their life. If they're pastors, we ordain them as pastors. If they're prophets, we ordain them as prophets. If they're apostles, we ordain them as apostles, or teachers, or evangelists. We recognize your ministry. And we have certificates of membership, which we will be giving out a little bit later, which officially recognize you. Now you may say, well, why is it important to be recognized? Well, I believe that we need to really affirm the call of God on a person's life. And if you are recognized by an official body within the Church of Jesus Christ, people are going to look at you and they say, that's good. They're under spiritual covering. They're acknowledged as a valid ministry. And we consider integrity and honesty very important in ministry. We're not looking for just successful people. Successful people can be very dishonest. So we want our ministries to have a very high standard of integrity and of practice of ministry. So we want to see character, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when I talk about spiritual covering, what does that mean? Covering. You've heard this term before, being under spiritual covering. Covering means 3 things. It means, first of all, guidance. If you place yourself under spiritual covering, one of the purposes of that is that you can go to somebody and they can seek the Lord with you for an answer. So we are under covering because we realize that we need good counsel. We need good advice. We need people who have maybe been further than we have and have more experience than we have in ministry. So you place yourself under spiritual covering. And in this case, if you're a member of Southern Cross, you come under the banner or the covering of Southern Cross, and you say, I believe that that group hears from God, and I can receive good guidance and good counsel, and they will help me to hear the Lord better. Okay? So that requires humility, doesn't it? To go to somebody else and ask for advice. The second purpose of covering is for protection. Now, occasionally, when you're in ministry, you will have someone who you've been ministering to or who you know who will rise up and accuse you of doing the wrong thing. It may be a person in your church. It may be an ambitious leader. It may be someone who's divisive or someone who you've offended. You may even be partially in the wrong. Don't say you're always right, because we're always human. As Paul said, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Okay? Jesus is the only one who's perfect. But sometimes you need someone who can vouch for your character. If you are accused of a misdemeanor, of doing something wrong, you need someone who can protect you. And so that is what Southern Cross is for. A few years ago, there was a man who joined Southern Cross who was accused of being sexually involved with a lady in his church. And you know what? It was true. He was. But we said to the people that were accusing him, we will undertake to make him apologize, and we will, with your permission, restore him to ministry. I don't believe that just because people make a mistake means they're kicked out forever of the ministry. If that were the case, many of us would not be in ministry today. But we have to be repentant, and we have to be willing to change and to confess our sins. And the main thing is to see people restored. You see, when God looks at you and me, He doesn't look at us in terms of what's wrong. He looks at us in terms of what is missing. What is missing? Because He's a father. You wouldn't reject your children just because they make a mistake. But if they continue to make mistakes, they need discipline. So they'll come to their senses and return, just like the parable of the prodigal son. So what we do in Southern Cross is we protect your reputation. If there is something wrong, we try to make it right, and we try to put down the accuser of the brethren. Amen. The third purpose of covering is for coordination. Coordination. Now, for any organization or group to function well, you need to agree who is going to have what responsibility. Okay? Now, Anthony and Fiona are conveners and coordinators at this point in time of Southern Cross within Kenya and within Eastern Africa. And we have given them that task. So the reason that we can enjoy such a lovely venue today and everything is organized is because they've gone to a lot of effort behind the scenes to coordinate these 2 days. And you know what it's like in your own church. You need to have coordination. So, you know, in the day of the judges, everybody did what was right in their own sight, and it was a mess. So spiritual covering brings good coordination. And that doesn't mean control. It means to bring things together in an orderly fashion so we can all benefit. Okay? So there's much more I could say about that, but I think it's important to recognize ministry and to be under covering. And that's what Southern Cross provides. Secondly, we try to provide encouragement. You know, ministry can be a very lonely thing. You can feel very lonely. The higher the level of ministry, the higher responsibility, the more rare the atmosphere is. And many times you can feel very unsupported, unrecognized, unappreciated. And so we bring people together in Southern Cross to encourage one another in ministry. Because we're not competitors. We want to see each other succeed. I want to see you succeed. Elaine, Anthony and Fiona, Jody, Dave, we all want to see you succeed. Amen?
Amen.
So we're here to help. We don't get paid for this, by the way. We do it because we're thankful to God. And we're thankful for each one of you. Okay? The next thing, beside encouragement, is equipping the saints. And I hope you can read this. Equipping the saints. Now, equipping has two parts to it. One is teaching, and the other is activation. Okay? Now, we teach. You'll receive teaching here. We will also demonstrate some things to get you involved in the process during this time. It's not going to be all teaching, although there will be a fair amount in this particular seminar of teaching. But as time goes on, we want to train you how to make disciples better. And Jesus made disciples not just by teaching, but by demonstration. So that's a big part of Southern Cross. Okay, then we have fellowship. Fellowship comes from a Greek word called koinonia. And koinonia is more than just coming together and getting to know each other. It is where we have a Holy Spirit encounter which bonds our hearts together. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can bring two people into true fellowship. Because we need each other. And as I say, our goal is for you to become friends. We don't see each other as competitors. We want Southern Cross to be like a family. And people who enjoy covenant, new covenant relationships, now, I gave you a sheet, this little sheet on 8 relational values. Now, these are values that we use in our church in Australia. Here you go, hon. We can leave this with you, too. Now, this is something, a little resource that you can take home with you. But let me just go through it very, very briefly. Non-negotiable love is the first of these relational values. So I'm talking here about real fellowship that's based on new covenant relationships. Okay? And these are just 8 guidelines to help you step into new covenant relationships with each other and with people in your church and each of us. So, non-negotiable love. Let's say, for instance, if we ever disagree on something, the fact that we love each other is not negotiable. You can agree to disagree. We don't have to necessarily agree on everything, but we need to agree on the main things. That Jesus is Lord, that the Bible is the Word of God, that we need to be people of the Word and the Holy Spirit, that we need to believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. See, those are not negotiable. But there are many things like, how many times do you have communion every month? You know, how long do you hold people under when you baptize them? Those you can negotiate. So we, non-negotiable love. Secondly, relationships of openness and honesty. And I know that some of you here may find this very difficult. Perhaps you've been betrayed. Perhaps you've been taught not to really be open and honest. But we're working toward this because this is what the kingdom is about. Okay? believing the best in people. Now, if you're in ministry for very long, you're going to be disappointed. People will sometimes let you down. Sometimes they'll make mistakes. But we all really need to believe that it's possible to change. We learn from our mistakes, or at least we try to, don't we? I've made many mistakes in 41 years. But God is the God of the second chance. And we need to give each other second and third and fourth chances. Okay? Always declare your commitment. Now, what that means is whenever you go into a difficult situation with somebody else, you need to declare to them that I want to see this be a positive outcome. I want to be a help. I'm not here to punish you. You see, in the New Covenant, God is not seen as the great punisher, but if we don't repent of evil, we'll punish ourselves because we'll reap what we sow. And God doesn't wink at sin. But the point is, we need to declare our commitment that we're here to help, and we've got to be honest. Now, I don't think I'll go into that. I was going to talk about invitation and that. Truth wrapped in love, preceded by grace. You've heard the saying to speak the truth in love. Well, we're committed to that. Being honest, speaking the truth, but always with the idea of building up, not tearing down. Character before gifting. We believe that Christian character is essential. You can be so gifted. There are people that are really good preachers, but they're dishonest. Or they're abusive, or they're stealing money. You see, God sees all that. And you actually do yourself a disservice if you don't value character, which is the fruit of the Spirit that we read in Galatians 5, as well as the gifts of the Spirit. 7 and 8, given it shall be given, stewardship, not ownership, speak of the attitude that we need to have toward each other. Now, I believe that Anthony and Fiona are very generous people. You know, they've come here, they've left good jobs, they've left, you know, a wonderful background and a wonderful place to live, and they've come here to want to be generous and to bless. And I think it's important that we follow that example wherever possible. Now, you have been invited here at no cost, but tomorrow we're going to give you an opportunity if you would like to give a small offering, and that will go back into the work of Southern Cross. But we don't say you have to do that, but you take it before the Lord, and if you wish to, you see, the reason that God started tithing is to teach us generosity. Generosity to others, and if we can get our finances under control and we can deal with the spirit of poverty. And the spirit of poverty is not being poor, it's being afraid you won't have enough if you're generous. So God wants us to be generous, okay? So give and it shall be given. And then finally, stewardship and not ownership. You know, whatever we have will someday belong to somebody else. We are temporary stewards. And it's having this attitude that we don't actually own anything. You don't own your ministry. You don't own your house fully. Someday it'll belong to somebody else. So it's having that perspective that the only thing that's really lasting is what we do for Christ. When I was a boy, up in the front of the church was a saying, "This life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." So I've never forgotten that. So again, fellowship and these relational values. And also to advance the kingdom. To advance the kingdom. What does that mean? That means to make disciples of the nations. Do you know, in Southern Cross, even though we're called an association of churches, we're actually concerned with much more than the church. I want to share something with you that you may or may not have heard. But in the days to come, the church is going to work much more closely with people in the marketplace. Our job is to equip the 99% of our people who don't work in the church, who are not pastors, to bring godly values into every aspect of society. God wants his people to infiltrate and influence several areas of government, like NGOs, sport, the church, the media. All of these things need to be under Jesus. Also, justice, the court system, health, doctors, nurses, government, education, business, the arts, even the environment. You see, all of the world belongs to God. So we need to think outside the box. We're here to train leaders to give us godly governments, to have godly things on television. The sports people, when we came into the airport, the president of Kenya was there on Tuesday afternoon to greet the soccer team. That soccer team are ambassadors for Kenya. Amen? But they need to be born-again Christians. They need to have godly influence because they're a role model. Okay, now this is just an example. So these are the things that are priorities within Southern Cross. Now, just a couple of things. I just want to talk very briefly in the next 5 minutes about two things. One we're going to discuss late this afternoon. Now, in your brochure, if you just turn to this page, to the second page, you'll see something that says a new prototype and four kingdom priorities. And I want to just explain to you very briefly what are four of the priorities of Southern Cross. In other words, four of our goals, four things we're looking to build into you. And this is seen as a triangle. And in the center is identity in Christ. Okay? Identity in Christ. So, what does that mean? Do you know your identity in Christ? Do you know how God sees you, first of all? That you're no longer seen as a sinner, you're seen as a saint. If you're washed in the blood of Jesus, if you're born again, if you've made a commitment to Christ, you have an inheritance. You move from being an outsider to an insider. You move from being an orphan to a son or daughter. You moved into a whole new place, not because of anything you've done to deserve it, but because of faith. If you believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you will be born again. And so that is our identity in Christ. We want people to know who they are, because if you don't know who you're in Christ, the enemy can come and he can deceive you, and he can steal your joy, and he can steal peace and happiness, and he can put you in a depressed state so you can't do anything. So we need to know how God sees us. And see, identity then leads to authority. You can't walk in authority in Christ until you know how God sees you. So we believe this is the heart of everything. Then, secondly, by walking closely with the Lord, we grow in something called the supernatural. A culture of the supernatural. Now, what is the supernatural? It's beyond what we can see. It's the realm of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has two aspects to His ministry. The gifts and the fruit. And they both go together. We often think of the supernatural as miracles, of prophecy, of healing, of deliverance. That's important. But I'll tell you what. If you don't have character, those gifts will be abused. They won't be used correctly. So it's both the gifts and the fruit. What do I mean, the fruits of the Spirit? The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the goodness, the self-control. All of those things come as a result of walking closely with the Lord. That's why it's important to be intimate with God. We become the company we keep. And tomorrow I'm going to talk about the importance of rest and work and spending time in the Lord's presence. So the supernatural comes from our upward relationship with God. Hearing what God is saying and being obedient to it. This afternoon, we're going to conclude, is it this afternoon? With a prophetic time. Is that tomorrow? Okay, tomorrow afternoon, don't miss the last session because we're going to open it up to the gift of prophecy. We're going to explain what prophecy is. We're going to demonstrate it. And I find prophecy is just like a river, that when you step into it, it begins to flow. And some of you need to hear words from God, and some of you need to be acting on the words that you've already received. Okay? But we'll explain all that tomorrow. The second thing is a relational culture. And I've already talked about this. We want Southern Cross to be a relational culture. In other words, it's not all work, work, work. There's a little bit of play, play, play. There's a little bit of just hanging out and getting to know each other. But above all, it's doing life together. Have you ever thought about that? Doing life together with other people. Letting them inside your heart. Just sitting down and enjoying their company. This isn't all about teaching. This is about hanging out together. Becoming friends. That's our goal in Southern Cross. And then finally, we see the government of God. And that is the kingdom. Kingdom advance. We want to see God's way of doing things happening on earth. And it happens through things like the fivefold ministry. How does that happen? We send people into the marketplace. The apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers. They don't belong only in the church. They also have a ministry in government, in media, in education. Have you thought about that? The fivefold ministry functions in a baseline way, in a foundational way in the church. But I see people that are marketplace apostles. They have a gifting. They're the leaders of industry. You know, people in government, you know, they're leaders. We want to see those apostolic blueprints brought to bear in our country. So the government of God is to be established. So this is basically the vision, the priorities of Southern Cross. And we're going to have time for questions in just a moment. So if we look at it, this, you can understand this very simply by saying up. This is the upward dimension. I should probably have that on the top, but you can understand what I'm getting at. That there's a part of Jesus' ministry that was upward toward his Father. He was always listening to the Father. What is the Father doing? The Son can do only what he sees the Father doing. Many of Jesus' miracles came from the time that he spent with the Father, and the Father told him exactly what to do. This relational side is in. Jesus spent time with his disciples in relationship. And he also had an outward dimension, a missional dimension. He went out into the world. He healed people's sicknesses. He preached to the multitudes. So this is the ministry of Jesus. Up, in, out. He spent time with the Father. He spent time in fellowship with his disciples. And he spent time out in the world doing the works of God. Now the other thing, and I'll conclude with this. If you just turn the page, what is Southern Cross? These are our values. So we have seven values, and these are like foundations. The Bible, we believe in the Bible, that it's inspired. We always turn to the Bible as our reference for everything. Prayer, we are people of prayer. We've already talked about unity. We've talked about equipping. Spiritual parenting, we believe that it's time that we start raising up spiritual fathers and mothers who will turn their hearts to the children, like we see in Malachi 4. I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. That's part of our mandate. Empowering relationships, which I've already talked about, and freedom in Christ. This is not a legalistic organization. This is not a group that's going to regiment you and tell you everything you have to do, and it's going to hold you to ransom to a bunch of rules and regulations. We believe that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we have freedom within limits, the limits of Scripture. So I'm going to stop at that point, and I believe that that's probably as much of an overview. I realize it's a lot of information, but I feel it's foundational and very important that we're all on the same page. I'd like to just open it up for a minute and ask, are there any questions or anything that I could expand on from anything I've said here that would be helpful? Any questions that may come to mind? Has this been helpful? Am I pitching it in a way you can understand? That's good. Any questions, comments? Yes. Here, let's.
One of the most difficult things that we struggle with in our various ministries, it is the issue of covering. And you have really explained on the issue of covering and the aspects of covering, guidance, protection, and all that. It is one of the most difficult things because you cannot offer guidance, protection, coordination, and counseling, and all that to someone who's actually not saying, I'm willing to be under you. I'm willing for you to help me. I'm opening up to have you help me. And as different ministries represented, we have those people who we are covering. And we find it difficult because how do you cover somebody, protect somebody, guide somebody who's not actually, let's say, I'm selling myself, I'm dying, I want to be under you to help me. That's really actually difficult. I don't know. One other thing is openness. And just being like honest I don't know what happens in Australia and other parts of the world, but in Kenya, and I don't want to talk about Africa, but in Kenya, this is one thing that actually we suffer from. It's like, how much do I trust this brother that I can tell him about the fire I'm sitting on that is about to explode and kill me and finish me? And he's able to pull me out of the fire without putting everything on the rooftops. And it's a huge problem. As I speak, I have suffered from the same because I'm like, he's my brother, I need his help. Just need to tell him how I'm feeling so that he can be able to help me. But the issue is, how much is he going to be a steward of all the things I'm pouring in his life so that he can be able to stand alongside me and help me to walk through that, so that at the end of it, I can also be able one day to help someone else go through the same. And therefore, we have ministers, regardless of their positions, that actually are suffering, are bleeding, and they cannot be able to deliver because they are sick. They cannot be able to deliver because they are sitting in all those things, and there's nobody who they can trust and just to hold them and say, brother or sister, I understand what you're going through, and I'm there with you. We can go through it together. And that's our problem.
Thank you, James. That's so very true, what you said, that there's got to be a willingness to place yourself under covering. See, in the church, we're not like the government. The only authority that we have is the authority that people voluntarily give to us. Because, you know, like the Apostle Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ. See, if you think I'm following Christ, you're much more likely to follow me than if I'm not following Christ. But it's a decision you make in humility. And humility is often lacking. And see, there are people that should be here today that are not here because they're not humble. They're not teachable. These are the key issues in leadership today. And we've got to be honest about it. A lot of pastors think they've got it all together. And they're not willing to really be under covering. And I always say submission is only a concept until it's tested. We say I'm in submission, but James, what if I have to say, brother, would you allow me to bring correction to you? Would you listen to what I have to say? And right there, I'll find out if Brother James is really humble and he's open and teachable. So we need to understand covering, but more than understand it, embrace it. Because see, all authority belongs to God. He puts people in positions of authority to help us, not to harm us. He puts the police in charge of authority. He gives them a badge. We have the badge of the kingdom. We have the badge of Jesus. They carry a gun to enforce the law. We don't carry a gun. All we carry is the authority that God gives us. So thank you for that observation. Now we have time for one more, I think, and then we'll have a little break.
Okay, my question is about developing leaders on marketplace, especially in our nation. Like maybe you have a leader in your church, you want him to go to be either an MP or a MCA, maybe to work in any government office. And you find when he goes there, because I have an example, one of my member who was very much committed in the church, and he wanted to be for MCA. And then in the process, even before, he had already backslided because the way the campaign is done and the things are done, the corruption, he was already changed. Eh? And now you want him to go and change things in the government. But even before he reached there, he's already changed. He cannot do what you expected him to do. And also, I had another power, one of my pastors, he was working in a government. He's committed, he's a pastor, okay? But now there he's forced to sign some things. When he tries to refuse, then he's going to be sacked, okay? So he decided to resign there. So you develop somebody to go and work there, and when he goes there, he either accepts to be corrupted, or if he refuses, he's removed. How do you think that we can help this? Because it's actually a problem in our nation. When we develop people to go in marketplace to serve and change the environment, they are the ones that are changed.
Thank you. That's a very good question. Just to rephrase the question, in our country, we have a political system which is prone to corruption. And even if a person's a Christian, they still can be corrupted and not follow through on the things that they're going to say they do. Is that correct? So what do we do about that? How can we begin to change that system? Well, let me say this, first of all. The kingdom of God is built one person at a time. The system can change. You know, we need to be, as pastors, building relationship with people in official capacities, the leaders in our community, not just the government, but sports, the media, education, and trying to make them into disciples of Jesus. What we've really done in the past is we've made disciples of the church more than disciples of Jesus. We've taught people how to tithe. We've taught them how to go to church regularly, to go to meetings. And all that is good, but it's all on the surface. A person can be religious and their heart really hasn't changed. Amen? So we need to step up to a whole new level of how we build into people. But it's going to take time. And no amount of proclamations and no amount of going off to the hills and railing over the powers and principalities is going to change this country other than building disciples of Jesus. But every journey begins with a single step. And what we're here to do is to plant the vision in your heart and to give you the tools to begin to build into those people. Years ago, I was invited by the West Australian Parliament to come and help start a parliamentary prayer group. Several years ago, the man who I joined with, who was in the parliament, we came to Nairobi together. And there is a parliamentary prayer group here in Nairobi of politicians. Did you know that? But my friend very quickly discovered what you're saying is true. That many of these people in government who are Christians, before they'll let you into their office, they want money. Right? Now see, that's got to stop. That's got to stop. That's corruption. So if enough people, enough pastors, begin building into people, we pray, we ask God to move sovereignly, it can change with time, I believe. So again, there are no quick fixes to these things. But let's try. Okay? Yes, we'll just take, is it okay if we take one more?
Not a question, but I wanted to comment on, to add on what you have said here. For example, I think it was last 2-3 years back, we had just started a project in Mlolongo of building, coming up with a borehole. And then the government brought in some people to oversee the borehole. And then I was picked to be the treasurer of the borehole. But the whole system was corrupt. There are some monies that were told to sign, even though we had not released the money. I stood firm. I thank God because you have said one person at a time. I stood firm and I said, I'm not signing this. Then they asked me a question, why? Wait, there is money here, we need to eat money here. I told them, I'm not going to sign anything that we have not done. And then they came up and they told me, you have either to sign or you resign. Choose. I said, I choose to resign. And of course I resigned. And then they continued, did whatever they wanted to do. But what surprised me, just the beginning of last year, we also had a meeting somewhere, and then the money was to be released for the orphans. And then the MCA stood and asked a question. How can we get a faithful person whom we can entrust this money to? It is the same people who stood and said, we give Pastor John. So it is all about how we start. We cannot start as a group, but make your stand and God will stand with you. Amen. God bless you.
Let's all stand. Let me just pray for you and then we're going to take a brief break. Lord, I pray that the words that have been spoken here would be like seed that falls into the fertile ground that produces a harvest 30, 60, 100 times what is sown. I want to thank you for every man and woman of God in this room. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would take these words and continue to nurture them in our hearts, that we might rise to become the sons and daughters of the living God and to establish your kingdom as we enjoy covenantal relationship with you and with one another. Now seal these blessings within us in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. God bless you.